are to be men of God.
Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome once again to the King's Men. We are live here today in the studio on this 25th of January. Blessed to be with you. Blessed to share more information with you about authentic masculinity. We have great confusion in this culture on what it means to be a man and father and husband. And we're going to talk today a little bit about that. But mostly we're going to pick up where we left last time on this wonderful book that I shared on the air last time from Father Lawrence Levasseur called The Hidden Power of Kindness. We're going to pick up on some of those themes because there's a tremendous lack of kindness in our culture. And we see it in the media, and we've seen it this past week, especially with the March for Life and the voting in New York with regard to the preborn child. But we see it especially with this young man, Nick Sandman. I think his first name's Nick. This young boy from Covington High School in Kentucky, and how he's being mistreated, and how everyone was just acting poorly in response to this young boy who's simply just smiling. Some people say he was maybe antagonizing with his smile, but I mean, gosh, now we're judging people's smiles. We're talking about the hidden power of kindness, and one of the best ways that you can be kind is to smile. I mean, did you ever just think that assume the best about somebody, that they're smiling not to smirk at somebody or antagonize, but that they're just smiling to diffuse a situation or just to be kind? I just don't understand this culture whereby this little boy, this 16-year-old young man, 17-year-old, is now getting hate mail and death threats, and it's just unbelievable. We have literally lost our minds as a society when it comes to finding reason to place blame and to accuse others of all sorts of things that have nothing to do likely with their response and their emotions that they're offering to a situation that people are misinterpreting and confusing cheerfulness and kindness for evil. It is so sad. We must assume the best about one another. Let us pray. Let us pray that we can be just a more loving and kind people and be more empathetic towards others and their situation, to really offer understanding to this world, to pray for the gift of understanding, to pray for the gift of cheerfulness. Boy, people are so miserable today, and don't we need Holy Spirit Radio? And so we call upon all of our heavenly patrons and saints and guardian angels to help us be more mindful of our lack of kindness. And we pray for an increase in our own kindness. And we ask Our Lady to intercede for us that we may become more like her in her disposition and manner. And as we approach these issues of grave importance like abortion, that we can have a spirit of cheerfulness, not over the killing of children, but just that our joy as Catholic Christians, that our joy in the resurrection. We are an Easter people, as Pope John Paul II once said. We are an Easter people, so we must live as such. And I'm going to be unpacking the hidden power of kindness today. I ask that you stick with us. This book, if you were with us last time, really, really is transforming how I view people, how I've looked at myself. Last time on the show, you might recall something that I said that might have been quite shocking. But in Father Lawrence Levasseur's book, a classic book put out, reprinted by the Sophia Press and the Augustine Institute, said that our own spiritual devotions might be, again, our attention to our own spiritual devotions may come off as uncharitable to others if it trumps the kindness that is needed in daily life. In other words, we could be so focused on our own spiritualness, our own spirituality, our own spiritual devotions, that it can be a turnoff to others because we are not as kind, because our spiritual devotions are superior to the love of another person. In other words, don't talk to me. I need to do this because I'm so focused and devoted to my own spiritual journey that it neglects the attention we give to others. This is what Father Lawrence Levasic said in his wonderful book, The Hidden Power of Kindness. And that really convicted me that sometimes, you know, that our own journey in our faith, we can kind of put as a higher good, you know, our personal prayer life. And when this comes to, you know, keeping us from the needs of others and the duties we have to others, well, you see how Levasic is right, that our own, there's a spiritual blindness almost that comes with that, that our devotion brings us to a level of unkindness and a lack of charity because we're so focused on self. There's spiritual selfishness, as Levasic says. So anyhow, let's pick up with the book. And if you want to hear what I said about all that I just mentioned, you can listen to the previous program. Go to holyspiritradio.org and listen to all the archive programs. Again, I'm Mark Houck, your host here. The King's Men, we're live today at the studios here in Doylestown. That's 1570 a.m. on your dial here in this area, the Bucks County area, or 1420 in Coatesville. I hope you stay with us because this program really is important, because we need to radiate cheerfulness in a culture that has no joy, has no cheer, has no kindness. I think of the wonderful and inspirational Molly Kelly, who's a bit of a mom, spiritual mom to me, mentor to me, when I heard these words. Cheerfulness of attitude and manner is a great help to those who come into contact with you. If you are a sour, unsociable, gloomy-looking person, you will make people feel uneasy, and you will intensify your own temptations to give way to sadness. On the other hand, if you are cheerful, you will lift the spirits of people, invite their confidence, and increase their hope of serving God well. Molly Kelly does this great, and she's done this for years. And if you know Molly and you've been in her presence, you know this. When you're in the presence of someone holy, you feel holier about yourself. That's a great definition of holiness. When you're in the presence of someone cheerful and joyful, you feel that way more so, right? I mean, unless you're sour and a gloomy person, maybe it'd irritate you. But in general, if you have that disposition, if you get yourself around a joyful person, it picks up your spirits. Every time I'm around Molly, it does that for me. So we must radiate cheerfulness in our Christianity, in our Catholic faith. Levasic tells us to avoid false cheerfulness. You're not really cheerful, he says, when you lack seriousness when it is a time to be serious. So you cannot give serious attention to the important duties of life. It is dangerous and misguided cheerfulness to make light of your serious sins, to avoid all thoughts of judgment and hell, and to be giddy and distracting to others in church or on other serious occasions. You are not really cheerful when you lack sympathy, he says. It is a great defect of cheerfulness in your character if you cannot sympathize with the sorrows of people. In other words, you don't bring joy to a situation. Let's say someone just gets, you know, you don't bring the cheerfulness, that is, when someone just gets terrible news that someone dies suddenly. You know, you bring sympathy and empathy to that situation. Yes, there's a joy in the resurrection and the knowledge that there is life after death, but there is a time and place, and we need to get serious, he says, when it's time to be serious. If you avoid people who are suffering, if you cannot sympathize with the sorrows of people, if you avoid people who are suffering, or if you manifest by your attitude that you're not going to permit yourself to be disturbed by their sorrows, that's a false cheerfulness, he says. You must learn to rise above your feelings. Again, Feelings are neutral. They're neither right nor wrong. Okay? They just are. They're neutral. Try to live up to the ideal, Father Lawrence Levasic says, of being always the same toward everyone. Kindly, affable, sympathetic, encouraging. In a word, be cheerful. Those are all cheerful things. Sympathy is cheerfulness. This cheerfulness, he says, is founded on the virtue of hope. That we must have great hope. Hope is a virtue by which you keep your eyes fixed on heaven as the goal of your life. And so in the midst of great suffering, there is this hope. Again, it's not off-putting. It needs to be sensitive to the moment and the time of what's going on. Levasic says, you will need to look to the sufferings of Christ for inspiration in these times of sorrow. And fortitude will allow you to face the sorrows of life. He tells us courage and hope are contagious. So in the midst of these times where we have to temper some of our joy, when someone gets great news of sadness, tragic things are happening to them, we must temper our joy, but we must be cheerful in the knowledge of where things are going in the midst of all that. In other words, you must have courage to face the next day, to have fortitude, to look to Christ for inspiration with his own suffering, that there is no Easter Sunday without a Good Friday. The joy born of charity, he tells us, is one of the few joys that support you even at the hour of your death. The true joy that's born out of charity is a great support to that final perseverance we're seeking. This is about cheerfulness. We're talking today, if you're just joining us, about the hidden power of kindness. And cheer is an expression of this kindness. This is a handbook for souls who dare to transform the world one deed at a time. And we look at this situation this past week at the March for Life and the things that have gone viral with this young boy and the boys and the high school students from Covington, the high school in Covington, Kentucky, and how deep resentments and bitterness, this occasion to bring out this hatred and this anger towards this young man who's 17 years old, who's extremely articulate, who is demonstrated cheer in the midst of a really confusing situation. And everyone's misinterpreting that, saying the boy was antagonizing or is smirking or trying to provoke. How dare they? Now, I know he was wearing a hat that said, "Make America Great Again." The boys bought it on the streets. I lived in Washington, D.C. for 4.5 years. Whenever there's an event, there's always vendors. If it was Barack Obama in the presidency, there'd be things promoting Barack Obama, you know, that would have been sold on the street. Why? Because he's the president of the United States. And just like Trump is our president, these kids bought these hats. And these people want to think that these boys were trying to antagonize. They're in Washington, D.C., perhaps for the first time ever in their life. They buy from a vendor a hat that was novel, that is a symbol of who is in the presidency right now, who's in the Oval Office. And yet they're making this out to be like this agenda for these young boys. How sad. We must assume the best about other people. Levasic in his book says, action fosters cheer. He says, nature has a way of taking its own sweet time, and you're a part of nature. You cannot force things. Cultivate a respect for time and the essential role it plays in all human activity. Again, this is how we approach life. It is in our nature to be kind. It is in our nature to be respectful. We are made as such. We are made in the image and likeness of God. And this young man was trying to be respectful. I believe that. I listened to his words. I don't think he was trying to show disrespect. He's 17 years old. Is this kid championing a cause, for Donald Trump? I don't think so. I think the boy was trying to bring some cheerfulness to that situation, which was no doubt confusing to him. And if you listen to him, you see that he didn't really understand what was going on. He didn't want to be disrespectful. Yet this all these older men and these older movements of people who consist of adults really manipulated and forced that situation to become extremely negative and confrontational. Levasic says we got to have a sense of humor. Without a sense of humor, you may be constantly sad over your lack of many material comforts. But a sense of humor will keep you from taking this passing world too seriously, because you will see how foolish such sadness is in the light of the truth that you have an immortal soul destined one day to enjoy the riches of heaven. So as you approach your life and you can become sad over things you don't have, or sad of the situations you encounter, it will help you to inject this sense of amusement over the inconsistencies in your own life into your conversation with others, so that they too will be enabled at times to smile when they feel like weeping. That boy was smiling when maybe he wanted to just run or cower. I'm not saying there was material comforts there. Maybe there was a disparity there with regard to the ethnicities and the inequalities that were being thrown out there. However, a sense of joy, a sense of cheerfulness, a sense of humor and all in the midst of all that, boy, the whole world could use a dose of that. Levasic says a smile costs nothing. It is rest to the weary, daylight to the discouraged. I love that language. Sunshine to the sad, and nature's best remedy for trouble. A smile can do much good, and yet how much ill will has come from this boy's smile. How sad that we are assuming that this boy meant nothing more than just cheerfulness that he was offering to that situation. A smile costs nothing, but in this case, cost this boy everything. His family, his reputation, death threats coming to this boy. How dare we as a world assume that a smile has something to offer on a negative level? That boy was just being a boy. Levasic says, nobody needs a smile so much as the one who has none to give. The world and the media has none to give. No one needs a smile better and more so than the world right now. Levasic says, become a member of the apostolate of smiling. That's what this boy, this young man, I think it's Nick Sandman, his name. That's what he was doing. Let all enjoy the beauty and inspiring cheer of your smiling face. Above all, smile at God in loving acceptance of whatever he sends you into your life. And you will deserve to have the radiantly smiling face of Christ gaze on you with special love throughout eternity. Wow. Could we spin all this towards this right now? Avoid passing judgment on others, says Father Lawrence. Again, this soul food is coming from The Hidden Power of Kindness, a classic from 1961 by Father Lawrence Levasic. If there were true charity in your heart, you would be glad to see good in your neighbor and to think well of him. Fault-finding indicates narrowness of mind. Wow, how guilty are all of us here. When we find fault and we're quick to judge, we're demonstrating to the world that there is no charity in our heart, that we are passing judgment on others freely, without knowledge, without details, without information. Superiors, he tells us, Father Levasic, are often the objects of fault-finding. People who stand in authority over others, it's easy to find faults in them. This young boy has no superiority over anybody. He's 17 years old. However, perhaps these groups, these militant groups that were shouting out profanities to this high school, would felt that these boys materially or maybe in their ethnicity were right away a target of some authority over them. I don't know. Maybe this is the racial inequality that these groups were presenting, the Native Americans, whatever. These are boys. These are young men. I find fault with all the teachers that were there and the chaperones there who didn't step in and do something. In fact, that's where all the direction of all this should go. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the hidden power of kindness and how kindness can transform our world. Stay tuned.
Hello, this is Joe DeFinis from the Mary Mother of the Redeemer Men's Group. Please join us the first and third Saturdays of every month at 6:30 a.m. at 1325 Upper State Road in North Wales, PA, 19454. If you are interested in becoming a better man, a better father, and a better husband, you need to join us. Be a better man by following Christ. Please join us the first and third Saturdays of every month at 6:30 a.m. at 1325 Upper State Road in North Wales.
The numbers don't lie. I'm Maria Gallagher of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, and this is Pro-Life Notes. Life is all about numbers, SAT scores, batting averages, football yardage. But do you know some of the memorable numbers in the lives of preborn children? 3, the number of weeks when an unborn child's eyes develop and the heart starts beating. 6, the number of weeks an unborn baby's skeleton is complete and brainwaves develop. 18, the number of weeks when an unborn baby can cry. 60 million plus, the number of unborn children killed since Roe v. Wade, the tragic U.S. Supreme Court decision which legalized abortion. At the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, we're determined to bring the abortion rate down to zero. To help us in our cause, visit our website at www.paprolife.org. And remember, there's always a reason to choose life.
My name is Joe Zimmerman, and my brother and I own Summers & Zims. We would be pleased to provide you with high-quality service for all your plumbing, heating, and air conditioning needs. We are pleased to serve the listeners in Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. Our phone number at Summers & Zims is 610-593-5129, or you can simply Google Summers & Zims. My prayer is that God would bless you through His Word as you listen to Holy Spirit Radio.
Welcome back. Frank and I are talking about the culture we live in, and we're so quick to pass judgment. We need to avoid passing judgment on others. And this is coming from the hidden power of kindness. Again, these are teachings of our Catholic faith. I don't know if EWTN is spending a lot of time on this situation with this boy, or it's on, you know, some of the more talking head programs. However, I'm going to spend time on it because it all has to do with kindness. And this is what we've been talking about since our last program, and I think it's really important that we all reflect on how we are not kind and the sinfulness that surrounds it. Father Lawrence Levasic wrote this book in 1961 called The Hidden Power of Kindness. It's a practical handbook for souls who dare to transform the world one deed at a time, and Sophia Press put it out again, a reprint. It's got an imprimatur, it's got a Nihil Obstat, it's got everything. Levasic says, faults and defects are bound to appear in human instruments. Now, just take that at face value. Faults and defects are bound to appear. Okay, so understand that people are fallible, that people are sinners. They're going to make mistakes, but we hold them in such a standard, especially when they're, you know, in the public eye. But this young man is not in the public eye. He's a student at a high school in Covington, Kentucky. And yet now he's become the face of hashtag movements and whatever agendas are out there with some particular anti-hate crime type group, anti-whatever groups. But just in the knowledge of faults and defects are bound to appear in human instruments, that should alone give us pause. To assume the best about others and say, hey, you know what? By the grace of God, go I. I am not perfect. Levasic says, hence, faults are to be found in superiors. So when someone's in a position of authority over you, like Donald Trump, for instance, I mean, he's president of the United States. How many of us find fault with him? I find fault with him. I can find fault with his character. That's easily. Now, he puts it out there for us to find fault with. However, It's natural to us to find fault with our superiors. Think of your boss. Have you talked kindly behind the back of your boss lately? Have you talked kindly about anyone who's your teacher, whether superior, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a coach? He just says, by virtue of your superiority in the role that you have, whether it's boss, coach, teacher, parent, people are going to find fault with you. People find fault with me. I'm on the radio. They're not. I'm on the radio. And they're going to find fault with me. And they've done it before. How dare you say this on the radio? How dare you say this? Or why would you say this? Well, boy, maybe it came out the wrong way. Or maybe I didn't mean it that way. Maybe you should assume that I meant something that I, how it didn't come out. And privately, and I've had people privately call me out on things, which is the right way to handle things. You know, not to publicly shame me or something, or just assume the best. Superiors are often found with fault. The faults of human nature, superiors, even with the best of intentions, will manifest certain defects. A position of authority can sometimes bring this into prominence, Levasic says. For instance, a superior can be the overbearing type, too obviously conscious of his position, easily aroused to impatience and anger, indifferent to the needs and complaints of those subject to them, and too inconsistent on trivialities. Some of these faults will inevitably produce a certain amount of irritation and friction. He said that's by virtue of someone being of authority over you, right? They have to think of the whole organization, whether it's a business or a church. Like you think of your pastor, how quickly each one of us are find fault in our pastors. When they're thinking about the common good of the whole parish, and they can't always account for all the personalities and temperaments in their parish. They try to, but it's so hard to do. You can't please everyone. I think this was what Levasic is saying. And if we have a healthy attitude and approach with this, we'll be kinder people. Avoid making rash judgments, he says. When serious injustice is done to a neighbor by rash judgment, the sin is serious. When you inflict an injustice upon someone who's innocent based upon your rash judgments, that is a very serious sin. In other words, if you defame them, if you slander them, if you do something to hurt them and they're innocent, not that you shouldn't hurt anybody even if they're guilty, but let's just take the innocent approach for now. Let's say they're innocent of what you're accusing them or you judging them and you ruin their reputation or you gossip about them, you slander them, you defame them, disparage them. You have to make reparation for that. That is a serious sin. We have to avoid those rash judgments. Get more information. Get the details. You cannot judge accurately from outward appearances. Now listen to this. There are some things that you simply cannot know about a person whom you are inclined to criticize. All of us who are criticizing this young man from Covington, Kentucky, don't know anything about that boy. We don't know him. We don't know him personally. Yet we're criticizing him. In the media we are, scrutinizing him. First, you cannot know the actual condition of his mind. You don't know what he was thinking when he was smiling at that Native American who was drumming right in his face. How antagonizing is that? Has anyone said a drum beat in the face of this boy is antagonistic? Has anyone said anything about the drum of that in the boy's faith, how wrong that was? How violation of this young boy's personal space? As far as I know, he didn't walk up to that boy. That man walked up to him. Is anyone saying that was wrong? I haven't heard once anybody saying that. First, you cannot know the actual condition of his mind. He may have been mentally irresponsible at the time he did the things you're criticizing. Yeah, he could have been. Or this Native American could have been. Second, you cannot know his full educational and environmental background. You don't know the limitations of what if this boy had some mental disability? Let's say he was, and he was someone, a person with mental retardation. I think I'm using that language correctly. People first language. Would we be up in arms criticizing this boy if he had Down syndrome? If he had some mental illness or incapacitation or a mental health issue? No, I don't think we would be. But no, we've deemed that this boy is perfectly fine in those areas, and I think he is. I'm just saying, though. Let's say he had some disability. Third, you cannot know the actual motives behind his actions. Often you attribute motives to certain actions that would have been yours in the same circumstances. Like, well, I wouldn't have done that. And so we judge. But no two human beings are exactly alike, says Father Lawrence Levasic. You have probably made serious mistakes in attempting to decide the motives of others. And I submit to you, dear audience, today, that we who are quick to judge this young man or even the other man, cannot possibly understand these motives. Fourth, Levasic says, you cannot know the exact degree of guilt incurred by a man for any sin. This is God's field of judgment. Remember this. God is the ultimate judge, not us. Levasic says you have no right to pass judgment on anybody or anything until you have examined the subject from all points of view and carefully weighed all accidental circumstances that, by their nature, might cast a different light upon the matter. To estimate a man's character, truly and fairly, you would have to know all the forces of heredity in which he was brought up and in which he now lives, the stress of his passions, the limitation of his intelligence, and even his physical condition. I submit that none of this was taken into account with what has happened. Natural proneness to judge others by ourselves is a weakness of our own fallen nature. You decide that a certain person is impolite, another is self-centered, selfish, and unsympathetic, and another is arrogant, unfair, untrustworthy, and pleasure-loving. This is what we do. We're prone to judge others in this way without getting all the details. Father Levasic says, you cannot judge a man by his failures. You must judge him by what he makes of them. Wow. Let's read that again. You cannot judge a man by his failures. You must judge him by what he makes of them. So don't be quick to put men in a box or women in a box or a person in a box after they've done something. Let's see how they respond to that. Look at this young man. He wants to dialogue with this man. He wants to meet with him. You haven't heard anything about this other man desiring that. I give this boy tremendous credit for his character and his honesty, at least best I can tell, and what he's willing to do, his response. One of the greatest lessons to learn is the knack of extracting victory out of defeat. No one is a failure who is upright and true. So, you know, when we have a, let's say we made a poor decision or we've acted imprudently, how do we rise from those ashes? Have you observed the people that you've criticized and how they've risen from the ashes and how they've repented potentially and made amends or tried to make amends? No, we just want to keep them down, don't we? We don't want to think about that there's a potential redemption there. No. No one is capable of redemption, right? When we've already said no, we've put them in a box and they can never get out. It's so unkind. That's why we're reading about the hidden power of kindness and how this would transform this whole situation that has gone viral in the media with this young boy from Covington and this school from Covington. Again, before the break, I said, I hold more accountable the teachers and the chaperones that were there that day. They should have intervened and they should have gotten involved. To me, they're the true problem. And these adults, they have more culpability on their hands. These young people are forming their character still. They are in the process of formation. They are growing into the fullness of who they can be. Why we would hold them to such a high standard. And this boy didn't do anything wrong, mind you. He just stood there and smiled. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I don't care if he was smirking. He's not guilty. That's not guilty of anything. Maybe it's the awkwardness of the situation that someone's drumming a drum in your face, inches from your face, how awkward that is. You might smirk at that if that happened to you. Father Levasic says, ask our Lord, who is all-knowing and understanding, to help you to look for the good in others, to teach you to overlook, for the most part, the merely human element in others. For most sins are due to frailty rather than to malice. Ask Christ to aid you in giving others at least a fair chance to defend themselves. Boy, could we use more of a dose of that today in our culture. We're reading, if you're just tuning in, to The Hidden Power of Kindness. These are just notes I've taken and quotes I've taken from this book that I think are so important for us. St. James tells us in his epistle, there is one lawgiver and one judge. He who is able to save and destroy. But who are you that you judge your neighbor? James 4:12. Once you have come to know yourself, you will lose all desire to sit in judgment upon others. Okay, so all these people that are judging, and you, dear listener, if you're judging, you don't know yourself. I include myself in that. If I'm judging, sitting in judgment of others, I may be a lack of awareness of my own failures in that area. Well, Levasic says, you will lose all desire to sit in judgment upon others once you come to know yourself. Pray the prayer that St. Augustine prayed once. Lord, reveal me to myself. Self-knowledge and self-awareness is probably the greatest journey that all of us need to take as believers, as human beings. Levasic says, interpret the actions of others in the best light. Kindness in judging is true wisdom, he says, because it is an imitation of the wisdom of God. Think of how Jesus extended kindness from the cross, the wisdom of God. They know not what they do. Father, forgive them. In imitation of Jesus, the saints were most merciful. They sought in every possible way to protect the reputation of their fellow men. We cannot do any better than to follow in their footsteps. This is how we avoid passing judgment on others. And this is important for us, so important to us in our culture today. When we come back from the second break, the second hard break, we're going to talk about resisting greed in all its forms and I'll whet your appetite for it. Greed, remember, this is one of the seven deadly sins. Love of gain and the practice of economy are part of the natural love of self that God Himself implanted in us. These natural virtues have been given to us in order that, by their means, we might make our own existence and well-being secure. There is nothing intrinsically wrong in a man striving for wealth. So that's important before we talk about greed as we come back. This is a hidden power of kindness again. There's nothing intrinsically wrong in a man striving for wealth. However, the disproportionate love of that gain and the practice of that in your material pursuits. I think Levasic's going to give us insight. There needs to be a practice of economy as part of this natural drive to provide well for our families. But it has to have an economy that has this impart love of God in the pursuit of that at the same time. That God has put a natural love of Him in us. But there's also this natural love of self that we want to provide good things to our children. So there's a love of this, the disproportionate love of material possessions and wealth is where we run into a lack of kindness and charity. But we must begin by saying it is not intrinsically wrong to secure wealth for yourself. We have to see that God blesses people with an abundance of wealth and others He does not. And there's a reason for that. Greed pursues a similar aim, but with evil means. So as we get into greed, the greed that is in people, the covetousness, this excessive desire for worldly possession, there's evil in it. And it crushes our fellow man, competitors. It exploits workers and acknowledges no other judge of its conduct than success. This is a serious obstacle to love of neighbor. Hence, all thoughts and desires inspired by greed must be checked and banished from our souls. We must have this economy of distribution when it comes to seeking security for our family. We'll get back into that when we come back. And we'll talk about how greed robs us of peace and robs us of love. And the envy is part of all this. Again, this book, The Hidden Power of Kindness by Father Lawrence Levasic, is going to give us the silver lining in the midst of all this, that we can take our great wealth and blessings and we can bring great good out of it. Stay tuned. You want to hear this because when it comes to life and our pursuits on this earth, we need to know these things. These are timeless truths. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Oh, Is your marriage hurting? Are you considering separation or even divorce? There is hope. RetroVi is a Christian marriage program, Catholic in origin, where couples of all faiths or no faith background learn to rekindle their love for one another.
The next RetroVi weekend will be held February 8th through the 10th at the Malvern Retreat House in Malvern, Pennsylvania.
For more information, please visit helpourmarriage.org or you can call 800-470-2230.
The Deaf Apostolate of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia has a mission to help serve the deaf and hard of hearing communities and their families. It helps them discover Jesus Christ and live a vibrant, faith-filled life. The Deaf Apostolate offers services such as Masses in American Sign Language, Interpreted Masses, Retreats in American Sign Language, Sacramental Prep for Children and Adults, Religious Education, Pastoral Care, and Deaf Social Events. If your loved one is deaf or hard of hearing and could benefit from services to help discover a life of faith, please visit deafcatholicphilly.org or call 215-587-3919. Let the Deaf Apostolate of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia help you and your loved ones in your faith journey. Contact the office at 215-587-3919. That's 215-587-3919.
A longtime supporter of Holy Spirit Radio is Holly Hill Health Foods, a locally owned, family-run business for over 26 years. They offer a wide selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, and formulas. They also have nutritionists to serve your needs. Visit Holly Hill Health Foods at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, Pennsylvania, or call them at 215-361-7770. You can also shop online at hollyhillvitamins.com.
That's how good that song is. Just keep playing it over and over again. All right, welcome back to the King's Men. Mark Houck with you live here in the studios, Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 in Doylestown, 1420 in the Coatesville area. We're talking today about the hidden power of kindness, and we're reflecting on what happened with this young man, these high school boys at the March for Life this past Friday, and a whole thing that went viral, and we're just saying how kindness would totally have changed this situation. But right now we're transitioning to greed. Father Lavasik, in his book, The Hidden Power of Kindness, says, if there is even a shred of greed in your heart, ask our Lord for the grace to overcome it, instead to fill your soul with an ardent desire for the things of God, which will enrich your soul and win for you an eternal reward. Again, seeking security financially for your family is not intrinsically evil. However, if there's greed in your heart, and what is greed? Greed is evil. It's a deadly sin. It pursues only that which is good for self. It's an excessive desire for worldly possession. It crushes competition, exploits people. Right, this is where greed, it robs a person of love of neighbor. St. Paul says love is not envious, and St. Augustine considers envy as a monstrous vice. Lavasik says envy is sadness over the good fortune of others. If there is regret at another's success, it is not always wrong, Lavasik says. The motive prompting it is the determining factor. It is excusable to be grieved because an influential person openly is hostile to the church, who in his place at a position of power. It would be excusable if a person is grieved over that because an influential person openly is hostile to the church. So you were regretting at another person's success. In other words, if someone ascended to a high position and used it for great evil, then it's natural to have that regret, and it's not envy. If someone has great wealth and comes to a person who's going to abuse it, okay, that's not to want to take to be greedy and take that from them, to say to remove that from them. That would not be a bad thing. That's an excusable something to lament over. But he says envy is the exact contrary of charity and thought, feeling, desire, and conduct. We are members of the mystical body of Christ, and in consequence, we must be mutual helps and supports to one another. Envy makes this impossible. He says, love wishes to give. Envy would rather receive. Love creates. Envy destroys. Love builds. Envy pulls down. Love helps those in need, comforts the afflicted, and strives to turn all that is evil into good, whereas envy would turn the little happiness to be found in this world into evil, sorrow, and pain. There's the difference between envy. Envy disrupts social life. It is one of the chief sources of misunderstanding, criticism, hatred, vengeance, calumny, detraction, and perverse attacks on private life. The fact that this boy could stand there with a smile on his face, probably people are envious of that they wish they had that courage to do that. Maybe that's driving some of this negativity. I don't know. Envy is like a gnawing worm, Levasic says, that destroys peace of mind and health of body. A gnawing worm. Are you an envious person? St. Augustine says it's a monstrous vice. The envious person becomes distrustful, unjust, and suspicious. The Book of Wisdom says, through the devil's envy, death entered the world. Wow. There we go. We must reject the evil effects of envy. Envy is sadness over the good fortune of others. The evil effects of envy are great. Recognize, as Levasic points out in this book, the effects of jealousy. Jealousy is a form of envy. Hatred, he tells us, springs from jealousy. And the fruits of hatred are calumny, detraction, and rash judgment. Gossip is stimulated by jealousy and becomes the instrument by which characters and reputations can be harmed. How many of us are guilty of this? Are you jealous of others and what they have? Or the people in their life? The situations that happen to them? The trips that they take? The opportunities that come their way? We can become very jealous of those things. Loyalty and justice suffers, says Father Lawrence Levasic. Levasic goes on to say, features of your character sometimes reveal themselves sharply during the playing of games, either of skill or of chance. To be able to lose a game with good grace and unaffected charity and humility is a sign of your willpower and dominance over pride and passion. If you are a poor loser, you will reveal your weakness of willpower by angry accusations against the winner, or by placing the blame for your failure on a partner or a teammate or innocent bystander, or by showing great unhappiness and gloominess. If you are a good loser, you recognize that games are intended for recreation and enjoyment, and that neither winning nor losing should be taken too seriously. Above all, you know that if the turn of fortune in game robs you of peace or induces you to be unkind to others, then the game has defeated its purpose. You will also see that at times it is good for your humility for you to lose a game, and you should be thankful for the spiritual good that arises from a defeat. How many of us, after the Eagles lost to the New Orleans Saints, were angry at Alshon Jeffrey for dropping that pass? I mean, the guy's done amazing things, right, in his career, especially with the Super Bowl run last year. How many of you blame that loss on him? You know what? He handled himself beautifully with that and says, one pass, one catch does not define my career. This will not defeat me, he said, and we will move on. He handled it with great grace. Did you, dear listener and viewer of that situation, were you angry for a week? Were you bitter and gloomy the rest of the day? I mean, that defeats the purpose of the games when we do that. This whole city of Philadelphia suffers from this. I know it. You have a duty to defend your rights of worship, your rights as a citizen of a free country, Levasic says. You have a duty to do that. So jealousy is not always sinful. You have a duty to defend your rights of worship, your rights as a citizen of a free country, and your rights to educate youth in principles of Catholicity. You must be jealous of these and similar rights. In other words, these are good things to be jealous of. So Levasic says, it's not always sinful to be jealous. We need to be aware of the jealousy that destroys charity, that eliminates humility, and focuses on pride. We must defend our rights as a country, as a nation, our rights to educate our children the way that we want to bring them up in a Catholic faith. Vainglory, Father Levasic brings up. Now, many of us probably don't even know what vainglory is, but vainglory is an inordinate love of self, he tells us. Vainglory is an expression of envy and jealousy, and therefore an obstacle to brotherly love. Vainglory is an inordinate regard of self. It is self-conceit, the overestimation of one's power, social position, learning or talent or skill or ability. To those of us who are highly educated, this is a real danger. You know, if you have a PhD or medical degree or law degree, or you've got a master's degree, an advanced degree, sometimes this pursuit of knowledge can be a real hazard to our virtue. You have received great favors and unmerited blessings from God. Of yourself, you are and have nothing except sin. Left to yourself, you would be a slave to passion. Whatever is good in you is really due to the working of grace in your soul. Therefore, humility and gratitude should be natural to you. In other words, if you have great intelligence, if you've pursued excellence in education, the field of education, you've achieved great things academically, that is a gift from God. That's not anything you've done on your own. That is your cooperation with the grace that God has poured out on you. Therefore, you must be humble and grateful, and that should become natural to you. All glory be given to God when you do anything great. That should be your response. All glory be given to God. This is so important. As we close this program today, and we've been reviewing the hidden power of kindness, and we were talking in the latter part of the show about envy, jealousy, and greed, and how it's a danger to kindness, that we become very self-serving. We must learn to resist greed, envy, and jealousy. Levasseur tells us that your first purpose in life is to save your soul for heaven. It is almost entirely up to you and how far you possess God's grace. Isn't that the great gift of God? I love that reality, that how you respond to the grace that God has poured out in you is going to determine probably heaven or hell. Probably. Train yourself to be satisfied with what God has given you, and do not try to become what you are not. Control your ambitions and do not seek honors that are out of your reach. Do not strive for accomplishments that perhaps God does not want you to attain. Again, you can't make yourself that which, you know, you just desire from a pure emotion. You know, I can't become a professional football player as much as I wanted to. I couldn't become it. It wasn't the gift that I was given. It wasn't the grace that I was given. It wasn't the cooperation of my life with God to become that. I just can't. You can't will those things to happen. So ask God to give you a contentment with what you do have, to be satisfied with what God has given you, and try not to become what you are. I was just up in Buffalo, and there's a great all-pro NFL player by the name of Steve Tasker, who played with the Buffalo Bills. He was an all-pro special teams player. And, you know, he remarked to a friend of mine, he said, he taught his children, so he had some dialogue with him. He said, you know, I made my living at football. It wasn't really my passion. I just was good at it. I made my life doing it. I made a living doing it. But he said, I'm not really passionate about it. I was just good at it. He said, I'm passionate about theater and musicals and things like that. He was the lead in his high school play. So, I mean, again, sometimes we attribute, you know, unnecessary, you know, desire or greed upon athletes and stuff like that. I mean, sometimes these guys are just cooperating with the grace that God has given them, and they're just good at certain things. They're not trying to, like, squash anybody or, you know, I think of Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was a tremendous athlete, obviously, tremendous talent. But, you know, Michael Jordan was quick to point out that he was the best, and he was always quick to point out and is still quick to point out that, that for all time he was the best. So, and the competition that kind of drove him kind of trumps some of his charity. I don't know. If you listen to his words, sometimes there's not a lot of humility in it. Love the guy. Love the talent. But, you know, the charity might be lacking when it comes to the grace that he freely has cooperated with God. That Michael Jordan didn't make himself into Michael Jordan, that God created Michael Jordan for a greater good. And much will be expected of those people who have been given great graces in these areas of their life, whether it's athletics or financial wealth and security or intelligence. All these things we must approach with great kindness, kindness to ourselves. So let's say, why didn't God make me better at this? How many young people want to be good at something and they're not? when they blame God. Why didn't God? Or why am I so unpopular? Or why is this person liked and I am not? Or why am I not successful and this person is? You know, ask God to give you the grace to just be satisfied with what you've been given and what you have. And that could be a great kindness to ourselves when we make that prayer. As we close our program today, we're just talking about this transforming power of kindness and how it's needed in this world, in this culture we live. We're so quick to judge and bring rash statements against people and criticize, when reality is most people have good intentions, and most people are not as malevolent as we'd like them to be or make them out to be. We kind of make up our own narrative about people because it helps us live with our own existence. But really, it's that envy and greed and jealousy that is in there, that vainglory that prevents us from seeing the true, the good, and the beautiful. And isn't it great that we have EWTN and Holy Spirit Radio to help us always see what is true, good, and beautiful through these wonderful airwaves that enable us to bring the truth and to communicate the hope that we need through the Holy Spirit here? What a gift it is to us. In our last seconds together, I just want to wish you a blessed new year again, and I challenge you to be more kind to one another. We're going to be approaching Lent soon. We're going to be entering into Lent next month, so it's a great chance to work on this kindness. I am Mark Houck. It's been a real pleasure being with you. God bless you.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.